The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, June 2nd, 2013, for those listening live, and it is, whenever you're listening, if you're listening to the recording, in either case, welcome. Happy to be here with you today, and happy to have you joining me. So, let's jump right in and get those connections up and running as consciously as possible, as fully open as possible. And so, as always, step first into connecting with your own mastery, with your own divinity, your soul, your higher self, your spirit, your oversoul, whatever you want to call it. You're opening the door wider to allow that energy to be more present in your conscious awareness. And so let your breathing deepen. Focus that intention in whatever way works best for you. For some, down through the heart chakra. For some, through the Dantian or the Hara or some other energy center. For some other place or way entirely. But what you're doing is opening your own energy to experience your truth, to experience more of that higher essence of what you are, of who you are. And so breathe into that and allow it to expand throughout your being, through the physical body where most of us tend to anchor our sense of self, through the emotional body, where we tend to get most wound up, through the mental body, where we tend to identify ourselves, and on out through the rest of our energy field, all the layers, including what we might consider those of the aura, and on out into the energetic connections that comprise all of our relationships. And just breathe with that and allow that expansion to be as flowing and as full as you're able at this moment. And if there is a shift that you connect with consciously, that's wonderful, but that's not required. The intention is what matters. So step into the knowing that this connection is going to remain at least this open throughout the time we share here together today. And let's move forward to the next connection to open up. And for those of you who listen regularly or even infrequently, you might already know that that's down into our connection with the Mother Earth, to connect with and allow ourselves to receive her love and support. Without her existence, we could not be here living these lives, having these bodies. She is that core anchor for us in these dimensions that we call the physical dimensions and that are connected to the physical dimension, such as the emotional and the mental body, etc. And so just open yourself up in whatever way works for you through the chakras in the feet, the root chakra, through the cells of the skin, if you like to be, well, more broad in your reception rather than pinpoint, or whatever else, whatever other way works best for you. And once more, allow that to expand throughout the physical, the emotional, and the mental aspects of your being, to flow through and fill your energy field, your aura, and to flow on into all of those energetic connections that we call relationships. And again, allow yourself to breathe that energy, to breathe into that flow. And today, let's connect with gratitude consciously and send that gratitude back to our Mother Earth. And in doing so, you might feel consciously, you might become aware consciously that allowing that gratitude, connecting with it and sending it out allows your experience of her love and support to expand, makes room for it. As you connect with that gratitude, you embrace what you've already received, which opens you to receiving more. And so once more, knowing that all of these connections, this flow, this energetic relationship with our Mother Earth is going to remain open at least this degree during the time we spend here together, we move to open the next connections as well, changing our focus, changing our intention to open all of the energetic connections that we have with our divine support team, our angels, our guides, the ascended masters who act as our teachers, our spiritual mentors, all the other beings of light and of the Christ consciousness that we are connected with. Once more, to allow ourselves to receive the energy of love and the energy of support. And once more, allow that energy, those energies, to fill you at the physical, the emotional, and the mental levels, flowing out into and filling your entire energy field, your aura, and down into those relationships. Oh, we could all use support in our relationships. And just breathe that in and allow that flow and know that that connection, those connections as well, will be remaining this way, this open throughout the time we share here. Once more, connect with your gratitude at being able to receive those, your gratitude at having these connections. And allow that energy of gratitude to flow back to those divine beings. And once more, you may find that you're consciously able to perceive that as you allow that gratitude to flow back, it opens you up to receive more of that love and support. All right. And let's open up to the next level. And that is the level where we come together in community. That is actually the level that amplifies the co-creative aspect of this program every week. And so that is to connect, to open into the connection of the masters within, exposing the masters within community. And in so doing, what we are connecting with is that shared intention of exposing, discovering, exposing, awakening and expressing our mastery more fully, our divinity more fully. And so as we each come together with that intention, we come into this mass consciousness of that intention more fully. And it becomes a support. It becomes a buoyancy. It makes it easier for each of us individually to step forward because we no longer have to do it all ourselves. Not that we ever do, but so often, so much of the time, that's kind of where we live, in that I have to do this myself. But the more we allow ourselves to connect with community and allow ourselves to receive that community energy, that community intention, the more that support lifts us forward more easily. And so again, allow that energy to fill you physically, emotionally, mentally, flowing throughout and filling your energy field, your aura, and on out into all of your relationships, seeking to deepen them as deep as they're ready to go, so that you can support all those you're in relationship with to the degree that they would choose to move forward in this way as well, into their empowerment, into their mastery. And again, knowing that these connections will remain open, allow your gratitude at that support to flow back into that connection, into that community that we share. And once more, perhaps noticing that that allows us to open up to receive that support even more fully. And so we open up again in another direction, this time to connect with all of those who are walking on the planet as conscious light workers, all of those who are walking with this shared intention to move into empowerment, to connect with mastery and divinity and step into living it, step into embodying it, step into sharing more and more of our divine light with others. And again, this is a huge energy of mass consciousness. And as we step into connecting with that and opening to that support of that shared intention, it becomes even that much easier to move forward on our path, because we can connect with not being alone that much more deeply. And so allow that energy to fill you at the physical, emotional, and mental levels, flowing and filling your entire energy field, that aspect of it that is the aura, and all of those energetic connections joining you in all of your relationships. And again, allowing your thanks to go back out. And I like to thank especially in this way. Well, I like to thank each of you, but every light worker as well, just for being here, just for choosing to consciously walk this path. Because I know that what you do on your path to move yourself forward, to heal yourself, to step into your power, to discover your mastery, to awaken your gifts and your light, every step you take makes it easier for the steps that I take, and vice versa. And that includes everyone else walking this path, because it means that that mass consciousness of mastery and moving toward mastery and moving into mastery becomes larger. And in some ways, that's what the ascension of the planet is all about, as I understand it. It's about opening up that mass consciousness of empowerment until that becomes the predominant mass consciousness on the planet. So that moving toward empowerment becomes easier than ignoring it or avoiding it or walking away from it. All right. And again, knowing that that opening, that level of connection will remain at least this open throughout the time that we share together, we now move to connect with all of humanity. And specifically that spark in all of humanity that is the desire. And in many people, it's even a drive. It's not just a desire, but it's got impetus. It's taking action. That desire, that drive to improve things. And for many, that may still be just about improving one individual life, my own. But for others, it is about improving in a broader way. It may not be moving toward empowerment, but it is about making the world a better place to be. And so again, that energy we can use, we can connect with, we can open to. We can let it fill us and support us on every level, physical, emotional, mental, throughout the energy field, the aura, and into our relationships. And it can again offer us support so that it can be easier to move forward on this path. And once more, connect with gratitude to that. Connect with gratitude to all the rest of humanity, as annoying as some of them can be sometimes, as infuriating, as frustrating, they are still carrying this energy. And thereby, we can still support each other, connect, and move forward together more fully. And the more we can come into gratitude for the other people in our lives and the rest of humanity on the planet, the more we can amplify energy that moves us toward community. Because that is a part of what we're waking up here. As we step into our mastery, as we step into our empowerment, we are automatically stepping into community. No. Since I feel like I'm jumping into the topic, I'm going to go ahead and ask you just take a couple more deep breaths here. And, all right. Now we can jump in that direction. Because part of what we've been connecting with lately has been about relationships. It's been about what we value. It's been about where we'd like to head and how do we connect with others as we do that. And it occurs to me, literally right there, just a moment ago as I said it, it occurs to me that as we step into our divinity more fully, we step into community more fully. Now, what do I mean by that? That may not be self-evident. It may not be obvious. And again, it's in some ways a revelation. It's news to me. And yet, in this moment, it seems exceptionally clear. Because as we expand into a greater experience of our divinity, what are we expanding into? We're expanding into the experience of that aspect of ourselves that is aware that we are not separate. That is aware that we are already connected. And isn't that what community is? Isn't that what we are looking for? Now, many of us have placed community into a box, and it looks like this. It looks like I have X number of people in the near geographic area that I can share deeply with. Okay, nothing wrong with that, but that's not the fullness or even the truth of what community really is. Because community certainly has an aspect of connection directly in the physical or the mental or the emotional levels. It is sharing space. But when we limit that definition of community to physical space, well, number one, we're slowing it down because it's much more than that. And our drive, our desire, our need for community is a drive, a desire, a need to move beyond the experience of separation. And ultimately, that desire for community is really us projecting our desire for connection with our divinity out into the world, as if it were possible for other people to give us a connection that was deeper than the one we have with our own divinity. And it's not. Because all of our relationships out in the world, no matter how we might categorize them, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, annoying, frustrating, loving, happy, sad, depressing, etc., however we might label our relationships out there in the world, they are all reflections in some way of that relationship we have with our divinity and specifically of the degree to which we feel cut off from experiencing our divinity. And so, I guess this is my new answer. When someone comes to me and says, "Where's my community?" The next level of that is now, well, tell me, where is your experience of your own divinity at? Because that is going to be what is reflected out in how much you're able to perceive community. Which is not to say you should not go out into and connect with other people in the physical dimension, that you should not go volunteer or try to talk to people about these things or anything else. But it's simply to say that all of that work in the outer is only going to move forward and give you a sense of community to the degree you're doing the work on the inner to open up into the connection with yourself, with your own divinity. So, take a deep breath, or two, or three. And thank you all for bringing that up here so I could share that. That was not what I was going to talk about, although it is an example of what I was going to talk about, which is the unexpected in life, which that was a perfect example of. My one word for today that I had written down, which I found interesting, it was unexpected when I wrote it down, is I wanted to explore this concept, which I've never heard before, but it's what ended up on paper as I started to write the other word. The word I started to write was expectations and the unexpected. And what I wrote instead, I guess, was combining those into unexpectations. Take a moment and breathe that in. Unexpectations. Because, well, what can that possibly mean? We've got schools of thought that talk about expectations as if they were attachments, which to me, those are two different things. But if you're talking about attachments, attachments are going to get you in trouble, meaning they're going to get you to have negative experiences, because attachments say that if this doesn't happen, then something has screwed up, and typically it's going to come back to, and I have screwed up, or it's going to trigger in on that unworthy button. I'm not good enough to have this thing that I am having an expectation about, that I have an attachment to. And so that's there, where expectations, again, if what you mean by that is attachments, I can certainly see in that light of we don't want those. And then how I tend to think of them more is expectations without attachment. That's simply another word for a goal, again, without attachment. It's fine because it's the direction you're moving. It's an expression of your desire. If you don't have an attachment to it, but you merely have it as the point that you're moving toward, I'm moving in the direction of this, then it's more like a compass. It's just pointing the way. But what about the cliche, expect the unexpected? Or another one, it's not exactly in cliche form the way I'm going to say it, but the only certainty is uncertainty, or the only stability is change. In other words, the only thing that we can be certain of in this world is that things will change, is that things are unstable. And yet, that energy, expect the unexpected, is a paradox. We can't really expect the unexpected. We can't really have that as a goal to move toward. It might be something to open into, to allow ourselves to be more comfortable with it. I've known some people who hate surprises. And I think I know why, because it's not, if it's a surprise, if it's truly a surprise to them, then it's not something they can control, so they don't feel safe. So I get that. And maybe if you're one of those people who hates surprises, you would have another explanation for it. But to me, that's kind of the underlying thing. Being surprised in some ways is being vulnerable, especially if it's a surprise that someone has tried to create. In other words, they've tried to bring a surprise to you or impose a surprise upon you, like a surprise party. A good example. Some people don't want that. They don't want to be the center of attention. They don't want to have other people fuss over them. Again, in many cases, to me, this goes back to that underlying sense of unworthiness, which is about the experience of separation. But regardless of where it comes from, I don't believe it's actually possible to expect the unexpected. It's kind of like saying, don't think of a pink elephant. You have to think of a pink elephant in order to try and not think of it. But in some ways, expect the unexpected is a formula. Now, I'm no expert on this, but it has that energy of a Zen koan. It has that energy of the paradox. What is the sound of one hand clapping? And in that way, it can be used as a tool to explore feeling the unexpected and the expected at the same time, to try and bridge the paradox, can allow us to transcend the level of experience that we've been at. So think for a moment. If you're willing to play along with this example, this game, you don't have to. But think for a minute, think back to something unexpected that happened to you. Now, some of you may come up with something very negative. Some of you may come up with something very positive. Some may come up with something neutral. You may have a ton of those flowing through you. Some of these might get categorized as synchronicities. Others as coincidences, but it doesn't matter. I'm just asking you to connect with something in your past experience. It can be something very, very recent. It can be something very old that was unexpected in your life. And what I'd like you to do is just breathe into it. Open to allowing yourself to feel the experience that you had when that surprise happened, when that unexpected event took place. And just breathe into that and see how it feels. Okay. Now, take a couple of deep breaths and let it go. And if that unexpected instance was in one polarity or the other, open up to another unexpected experience that's in the opposite polarity. So if you had a positive one this time, connect with a negative one. Something that happened that you weren't expecting that was other. And breathe into that. And again, just tap into how it feels. You're going to let it go in a minute. So if it's the negative polarity, that's okay. You're going to let go of it again. And just let yourself feel that as fully as you can. And after you let go of it, just kind of jot down perhaps how each one of these felt. A brief note maybe what it was, what the circumstance was, what the event was in either case. And then a brief description, if you can, of what it felt like in each case. How did you feel as you reconnected with that? And it may be about a specific emotion, but perhaps the question I would ask is this. Could you apply either of these next words to what you were feeling in either case? Open or opening or closed or closing? And just breathe into that for a moment and see if that applies. Now, each person I imagine is going to be different. This is not something I've attempted to do with others, so I don't have a history of talking with people about their experience with this, but I will connect with and share with you the instances that came up for me. Now, for me, they were tied very close together. And the first instance that actually came up was, I'm thinking I was about 7 or 8 maybe, and I was at a parade, and this older man, now my parents were there, I wasn't wandering around by myself, this older man offered to buy me an ice cream cone. And so I got a free ice cream cone that was completely unexpected. And for me, that unexpected event felt very opening. Now, I'll go further in a moment and explain why that happened. Because why I got the ice cream cone relates directly to the other polarity event that happened to me. But it was one of those feelings in my young life at that time of almost justice in the world. And so let's go back further, rewind a little bit. And earlier, but it might have been the night before. Before the parade, because I'm not sure if this parade actually took place at night. If it did, then it was earlier that day. If it didn't, it was the next morning. It was very fresh, what had happened earlier. We were having a family get-together, and one of the things that we did in this family get-together was, after we would eat, often we would play games of one kind or another. And that particular evening, we were out on the front lawn at my aunt's house playing wiffle ball. And I think I was pitching. And my brother was batting. And so I threw the ball, and he hit the ball pretty hard, if I remember correctly, into this big evergreen they had in the front yard. And it was very thick, very dense, very hard to see into. So as the pitcher and the closest person to it, I went over to try and find the ball. Well, I had trouble seeing it from the front. I couldn't see it at all. So I moved around gradually until I could see it. And I reached in to grab it just as my brother from the other side took that wiffle ball bat and went pow right into my eye. Gave me one heck of a shiner. Now, that was an extremely unexpected thing in the negative polarity. And, well, I know me. At the time, I was a big crybaby. So I'm sure I made quite a fuss. But I can feel the shock of it and the recoil of that instant, that split second of seeing the bat come in. Because I was focused on reaching the ball, and I don't believe it was intentional. I think he was trying to hit the ball as well. But the trying to push the bat through the bushes went right into my eye. It gave me a nasty black eye. Probably one of those cartoon moments where I was seeing stars, although I don't particularly remember that. And I'm sure I was quite whining and crying at the whole thing. And so that experience, I know, caused me to pull in, protect myself. And yet, out of that, going to the circus with that black eye, that was what prompted this grandpa age person to buy me that ice cream cone and open back up. Now, again, whatever you may think about the wisdom of getting an ice cream cone from someone else that you don't know. Now, he bought it from a vendor that was there, so it wasn't like he handed me the ice cream cone. But regardless of what you might think about the wisdom of that now, as opposed to 40 years ago or whenever that was, this, to me, is a piece of what I'd like to get to today. That the unexpected, we tend to react to based on whether it's the positive or negative polarity. And I would love to hear from you to know, you know, whatever you would like to share, but the energy of this, the surprise that was negative versus the surprise that was positive. Did the negative one, could you feel yourself closing down because of it? And could you feel yourself opening up because of the positive? I would like to have a greater experience of what else, what your experience is out there, a greater awareness of that. But I think that feels true, that that's going to be fairly universal. But I also think that based on, quite frankly, the surprises, the unexpected events that we've had in our life previously, and of course the energy patterns that we chose as souls to come into and embody in this lifetime, we have a framework through which we view the unexpected. And that framework we might label with the polarities of optimist and pessimist. What is an optimist except someone who has a general framework of expecting the best in the world, that positive things are going to happen? And what is a pessimist but someone who has this expectational framework that the negative is more likely to happen to me than the positive? Well, that's an interesting thing to me. I mean, I tend to be very pessimistic. That's interesting because I'm not. I tend to be very optimistic, so I'm not sure what the Freudian slip was there about me being pessimistic. Yes, I do. I'm very optimistic about the world at large and about my trust in the general flow of things. I tend to be a little bit more pessimistic about what I'm actually going to accomplish or get done, which is very much tied to my procrastination and all of those patterns that I've been working with as I've been sorting through my stuff. And anyway, so another unexpected piece for me to come up here. But another thing potentially for you to look at. Do you tend to be pessimistic or optimistic as you look out at the world? And do you tend to be pessimistic or optimistic as you look at yourself? Now, I'm going to take another look at myself because I'm the scientific experiment that I have the greatest access to. And as I look at that, it seems rather odd or silly that I've had enough of these experiences. Well, like the ice cream cone after the wiffle ball bat. I've had enough of those experiences where the negative closed me down, but I had a positive follow it that opened me back up, that I have an optimistic view of the world at large out there. And that's only been expanded the more I've walked this path and the greater clarity I've gotten about why people do the things that they do that I used to blame them for. And to be truthful, still do at times. I'm not done with blame yet. And yet, I still have this piece of me that is somewhat pessimistic, not wanting to get myself attached to expectations about the results of my direct actions. So that's something I get to play with. And I don't know, maybe there's something in there for you as you look at where you fit on the expectational scale of optimism or pessimism, as you look at how that relates to the world at large versus how it might relate to you personally. But I want to come back to that word that I started with, unexpectations. And what I think that means, why I think that ended up being what I wrote down, what came into my head as I was, well, fairly baffled about what the heck today's show was going to be about. I think it came in as a word to describe a kind of work that we can do. Unexpectations. To me, would be doing the work of taking the attachment out of our expectations. Taking the part of our expectations that is creating the issues, or at least bringing the issues to the surface that we have the opportunity to deal with or to heal or to clear, and choosing to work with them before they bring us the expected event that is negative if we're pessimistic, or the unexpected negative event that is the opposite of what we were attached to if we're optimistic. But in either case, getting us into that energy of the negative polarity of our unworthiness, etc. And so when we can see our expectations, when we can look at our desires and what we're putting our energy into, because we only put energy into things that we do have some desire for, even if it is the desire that might be the lesser of two evils. Well, if I'm going to be stuck with one of these two things, I'd rather do this than that. I would rather sweep than have to clean the toilet. Anyway, whatever those categories might be for you, when we can notice those things, perhaps we can dismantle some of the attachment. I choose to move forward in this aspect, in this area of my life, with the greatest grace and ease and joy possible. And I'm willing to let go of my attachment to this as the outcome. I'm choosing to put my energy into this action. And by God, I will admit that I desire this rather than that. But I'm willing to let my attachment go. I'm willing to acknowledge right now, as I'm taking these actions, that I'm a divine being now, and I'm a divine being as I do the actions, and I am a divine being regardless of the outcome, regardless of whether I get what I desire the way I desire it or not. And take a breath. And I, personally, think that feels pretty good. there have been a few circumstances that I have used a similar tool, the tool of claiming my divinity directly. But mostly I've done that in a general way, or I've done it in a way to get rid of my attachment to someone else's behavior. From the divine place in me, I acknowledge the divinity in you and your right to choose whatever you choose in your life. But this, to me, expands that tool, makes it broader, opens it up to where I can apply it to anything I'm seeking to take action on, or even desiring, even if I'm afraid to take action, even if I'm in my procrastination pattern. Maybe bringing this tool to it can help me break up the energy of that attachment to the outcome so that I can take the action steps more easily. At least that's what I think it has the capacity to do. So if you try it, let me know what happens. And if I remember, if I think about it in another program, I'll let you know what happens for me. And so that's our unexpectations program today. At least my part of it. I will open up to let our guest join us, whoever that might be. As always, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning that allows our energies to be realigned so that we can actually have a guest here to join us. So, here we go. This is the Apostle Andrew come to be with you today. Welcome, 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 welcome. And breathe. So today, following through with the theme of unexpectations, what we would ask you to do, to play with, if you're willing, only if you're willing, and only to the degree that you are willing, is to think about the things that you desire most. Because the more you desire them, the more likely you are to be attached to them as outcome. But pick one of them, just for now. You can always go back and work with others if you choose. Pick one of those things that you most desire in your life. And imagine a small box. Now, this can be a small box the size of something that earrings would come in, or it could be a small box the size of something that a refrigerator would come in, because small is obviously a relative term. So you pick how big the box is. But imagine that you have a small box in your life right now, somewhere in your space, and that this box is filled with the energy of that thing you desire. Whatever it was, that thing you desire, not the thing itself, because it might not even be a physical thing. It might be an experience that you desire. But it has all the energy that you need right in this box to manifest that into your life. Now, breathe in and allow yourself to let go of that feeling of holding on that is the attachment. And in fact, as you look at that box, you realize that it has an attachment, kind of like scuba gear. So it's got a mouthpiece. And if you would just take that mouthpiece and insert that, you can breathe in this energy from that box. And as you breathe it in, it just goes throughout your energy field, but especially within the physical body, helping to release all the energies of attachment, all the energies of control about this desire. And as you breathe, just give permission to let those go. The need to control everything about this manifestation. Just let it go. And as you are doing this, you might feel an urge arising to giggle, or to laugh, or to guffaw, or to chortle. Because that energy inside that box, however small it is, it's not laughing gas, but it frees up laughter. Because laughter is an energy of freedom. Now, not everyone. Everyone knows nervous laughter as well. But you can also feel hugely the difference between laughter that is open and laughter that is closed. Laughter that is in spite of yourself. Well, and you might also even notice or know the laughter that is relief, where it's moving from the closed into the open. Oh, God, that could have been so much worse. Whoo, kind of laughter. And if you find this energy of laughter coming up, let it happen. You don't laugh nearly enough, largely because you're trying to control what you desire. You're trying to control what you're attached to experiencing. You're trying to control everything that might get in the way or everything that might be marshaled into the forces necessary to bring it into your life. Oh, it's so much work. It's a tragedy. Attachment is a tragedy. Not really. It's annoying, but it's not a tragedy. And allow it to go. Give yourself that permission. I am a divine being, and I allow myself to release, to clear all the energies of needing to control this manifestation. You know what that air is made of inside those boxes, don't you? All the little bubbles from 7-Up. You know, the Uncola. And all the little bubbles that make up every other un-anything. So this is unattaching. Unattaching. Or detaching, if you prefer to be more grammatically correct. We don't care, because we're not attached to correct grammar. Anyway, know that you are much loved, and you are much supported as you let go of needing to control your life, your path, your manifestation, and even your awakening. It is so much easier when you let go, dear ones. Much love to you each and every. And always, namaste, dear ones. And thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to each one of you, and thank you, Doug. And you can go ahead and start those chimes up when you're ready. I cannot do this program without you. It is our energies together which bring forth that which I share. So thank you so much for that. And by all means, please give me the energy directly outside of the program as well, if you're willing. The feedback, the questions, the comments, what you like, what you don't like, anything at all, I appreciate. I will be back here, same time, same place next week. At least that's my intention, although there may be something unexpected. Who knows? I wish you all a marvelous time in between. You never know where you're going to go until you get there, my friends. Enjoy the ride, enjoy the surprises, and I will talk with you again later. Much love. Namaste.